Well, praise the Lord. Pastor Josh, Pastor Sarah, thank you very, very much. And first of all, if any of your old enough used to have something called Murphy's Law back in the 70s, it was the concept that if anything could go wrong, it possibly would, and at the worst possible time. Well, the devil tries to attack me with that, and this process being on stress number two, we are faced with a lot of challenges. And I don't believe in Murphy's Law, but the devil tried to put us upon us. But I want to thank, first of all, the entire staff that helped me get this ready today, because it was one attack after another. Still working as early as 5 o'clock this morning, so they all are showing their support to me for coming in here, and I really appreciate each and every one of you, and I thank you for that. That was a real blessing to me, knowing that you have my back. And I thank you very much. So we're talking about stress again. This is stress part two. The reason why I want to talk about stress again is because I see a lot of it in the world today. As you look at what you see on the news, they talk about inflation, and you go to the grocery stores, the gasoline pumps, you see what the prices are. There's a lot of people out there that are really challenged with what's going to happen to them, and they're starting to stress out. Now, stress in its own right, to a degree, is not bad. If you're a weightlifter and you go to the gym, you stress the body when you lift weights. When you get stronger, you stress them more. You know, that's how you get stronger. Well, if you look at this, what we're going through and going to be going through as a training ground for the end times, that helps you prepare for it. And that's why I want you to take a look at this thing now. It's not anything but a practice run. And that may seem a little challenging right now, but with God, all things are possible, right? Let's review a little bit of last week, you know. Definition of stress is a physical, chemical, or emotional factor that causes bodily, mental tension that may be a factor in disease. Stress is a feeling of being overwhelmed, unable to cope. A lot of people feeling they're unable to cope right now. That's a very big thing. In physics, stress is the magnitude of external forces when applied to something which may cause deformation and could lead to breaking stress. Think of the palm trees. You see the hurricanes. Okay? Hurricanes come in, 150, 160 mile an hour winds, and those palm trees will bend over with them. The stress pushes them way down. But because they're able to bend with the pressure, they don't break. They come back up. Now, you go back to the Midwest where I'm from, and we have big oak trees back there. When a tornado comes through, they try to stand strong against it, and they break. Okay, so the question is, you have to learn how to handle the stress that come up against you so that you can survive what's going to come. Okay? Symptoms of stress, excessive pressure, strain, weight, nervousness, panic, anxiety, worry, tenseness, tension, torment. Talk a lot about torment a little bit. Trauma, distress, pain, hassle, etc. Stress has a lot of factors. It's like an octopus with a lot of tentacles that's going to come up against people. And the devil will see to it that everybody is attacked. Let me repeat that. Satan is going to see to it that you are attacked. It's how you handle it that matters, okay? Now, how does stress negatively affect your life, okay? John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, pressure, or stress. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So as the challenges come, we must be of good cheer. And no matter what the challenges are, you need to be of good cheer. And it sounds difficult at times. And it is. There's nowhere in the Bible that says going this route is easy. But it does say we'll be victorious. Okay? Great. Stress can affect people's hearts, souls, minds, and bodies. Okay? Now, how do you identify the sin of stress? You may already be aware of many stresses in your life. However, in the case you're not aware of others, let's take a look at many of the main causes of stress. Now, being a minister, I notice this a lot. When people are having problems stressing, they're not praying as usual, and they're not seeking ministry. And what they are doing, not you, of course, but they are challenged to be focusing on the problem, not the solution. Okay? They're getting isolated. They're avoiding pastors, family, friends. You know, the devil likes to isolate people. And that's a big challenge in the world today, especially with this COVID challenge. A lot of people are isolated out there. They don't have able to reach people, you know. But the bottom line is, you need to reach out by phone, by Zoom, by whatever you need to do to get the help when you're feeling stressed and challenged, because together, we're victorious. Just like I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't the support of this team when the devil tried to put a lot of stress upon us. Fortunately, we pulled together and everything is done properly, okay? Maybe we get angry. They feel a time urgency, the pressures, tension, overloaded schedule. Burnout is a big thing with stressful people, you know. Disappointment, underachievement, and physical stress effects. You know, when somebody's under stress and they got to do something, a lot of times they tend to procrastinate. The pressures get to them more and more, which causes more and more stress on them. They're actually not able to handle the stress that comes on them and take care of it, okay? Now, when stress begins to accumulate from negative or challenging events in life that just keep coming, you find yourself in a state of feeling emotionally worn out and drained. And I see this way too much in the world today. And with all due respect, we're going to get more of it. So we have to use this as a training ground. If we can handle this one, we can handle the next one. Think of the boxers. Now, nobody gets into the boxing thing and walks up against Muhammad Ali and gets to fight him right away. They got to work their way up the ranks. They start at one rank, they go to another rank, they go to another rank. You know, most people that play a sport like baseball, they go through the triple A's, then to the majors before they really get to where they need to go. They don't just start out. Nobody just walks off and starts into the NFL, okay? They have to prove themselves by playing high school, college, and so forth. So we're going to use this time to better ourselves so we're ready for the championships that are going to come down the road, okay? Now, the demons just like to sneak up on people and challenge them to harm them. We all know the story about the frog that gets boiled where you put it in the pot and turn it up a little bit at a time. Well, that's what stress does, especially on the job site, you know. I know a lot of people that are working today, and they had a job they loved. They say, well, just do a little bit more. Well, just do a little bit more. And before you know it, they're doing two, three times what they used to do, and now they're challenged not to handle it, and they're missing family events and things like that, and they're feeling the pressure because, you know, they don't want to lose their job because they don't want to not have the money coming in. And corporate America does that a lot on people. It really does. But we have to notice it. If we notice it, we can start doing prayerful actions to take care of it. Okay? Okay. How do you overcome stress with faith? Is by obeying God's word. We have to be free of stress and independent of it. Now, the Oxford definition of independence is free from outside control, not dependent on another's authority, not dependent on another livelihood or sustenance. To obtain victory, perseverance, character, and hope when you overcome tribulation. Strong's Concordance definition of tribulation means pressure, stress. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this victory that has overcome the world is our faith. He who overcomes the world, but he who believes in Jesus, the Son of God. Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, no matter what's coming upon us, there is nothing that our God, through Jesus Christ, will not, cannot help us with. And when we have challenges, let's go back to God. It's not go to the world. It's go back to God. Okay? Through whom we have access by faith into this grace which we stand, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character hope. Okay. So as we do this, it builds our character. It builds us up. It makes us ready for the next level. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given into us. So no matter what happens with the Holy Spirit, we can handle this. Okay, now, last week when Pastor Karen spoke, she said something. I want to make a correction here, okay? She said when you come overcome little problems, God gives you big problems. That's really a misspeak. Let's take a look at that. When you overcome little challenges, God's know you're ready to overcome many other greater challenges. Pastor Karen, in part 1, I want to make a point and say that God will reward those who diligently seek him and promote you to a higher level from glory to glory. God's reward may be a bigger victory than before. He rewards with good things. To whom much is given, much is required. But it's like moving up from the B team to the A team, okay? Now, let's talk about David for a second, okay? We all know about David. He went up to Goliath, right? He wasn't a rookie. He had been trained because he had been in the field with his sling. He knew how to use it. He went up against the lion and the bear and killed both of them. So he went up to Goliath. It was another step higher, but it wasn't going from grasshopper state to taking on Goliath, okay? He knew what he needed to do and the power of his sling. If you don't know this, back in those days, a sling held something about the size of a baseball, modern-day baseball. And if you're good at throwing it, you can throw it 90 miles an hour. If you're really good, you can throw it 120 miles an hour. So David was an expert at this. And he knew how to pinpoint put that on him. He was well-trained and ready to take on Goliath. As David, he took off Saul's armor. Now, what that means to you is when these challenges are coming, God has prepared you how to handle it. Look to God. How do you want me to do this? How do you want me to take on this situation? And he will lead you through. Okay? He always wants us to go from glory to glory because we all know the end times are coming. And if we go from glory to glory, we'll be ready for the end times also. As we're ready for the end times and these bigger challenges come, your family and friends that are on the sidelines are going to say, how come you're doing so well? You're going to be able to pull them right into your ark alongside of you. And that, of course, is the ultimate goal, to bring everybody we know, everybody we can reach and touch, into the ark to be there when Jesus returns. Would you agree with that? Amen. Okay. We have to reduce stress God's way. Okay? Okay. So, let's go to the top of the outline now. Okay? I'm going to reiterate this. I want you to keep this in mind. Satan doesn't like anybody in this earth. He doesn't like us. He doesn't like the ones who are already controlled. He hates all of us. Okay? He puts stress on every single person. And our job, our duty, responsibility, is to throw it off and back on him. Okay? Now, this is a more detailed study of the stressors, okay? 1 Peter 1:11. I access my heavenly inheritance with joy and mercy instead of being upset at trials. So let's talk about that. Trials are going to come. We know that. How do you handle it? It says, with joy and mercy. So if we take a trial on with joy and mercy, we get our heavenly inheritance. Okay? What does that mean? Well, my father always taught me that whenever the problem came along, to laugh at it. Find some way to make it funny. And we would tackle all kinds of challenges. I remember one day we had this really nasty snowstorm came. It was 1985. The wind chill factor was 85 below. None of the cars would start. And we're out there with, for those of you who don't know what a carburetor is, the old day had carburetors. And we'd use ether to try to get the cars to start over. And once one car started, we used that to jump the other cars, but it was go out and jump a car, come back inside and thaw out. Go out and jump a car, come back inside and thaw out, okay? And the whole time we're laughing and joking and making fun of things, and that's how we got through the day. Because we had fun of it, okay? Now, mercy, if somebody needed help at some point in time, we were there for them, you know? We showed our mercy during trials. Challenges, you know. I remember my parents had a little tiny deli, and this old man walks by, and he goes, I'm hungry, because he was Italian, couldn't speak very good English. So they gave him a little bit of food, and they gave him a little more food, and then when he got his social security check, he came in and paid it off, but they showed mercy on this guy. And this guy lived an extra number of years, because when he was hungry, my family would help them with food. Just the little things. I believe God blessed their business because of that. Okay. So 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. So when you get an inheritance from God, it's there for you. The devil's not going to be able to take it. You can lose or give away yourself. But it's undefiled, and it's yours, okay? You have the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if you need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Jesus knows you're going to be grieved by trials. That the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. I'm going to stop right here. Gold that perishes. Do you remember the story of the goose that laid the golden eggs? Now I know it's a fairy tale, okay? Which is more valuable, the egg or the goose? The goose. Because the goose can lay many more eggs. So if the gold perishes, but you've got faith, you can get more gold. You can get more whatever you need to. The faith is what you need. That's what is your golden goose. It'll prepare for you. It'll provide for you. Do everything for you. As we get close to these ending times, we need to develop our faith. How do you develop your faith? By going through trials. The more trials you go through, the stronger you get. The stronger you get, the more your faith grows. Okay? Okay. So, let's go to number 2 now. John 16:13. In the name of Jesus, where there are challenges of stress, I overcome and of good cheer, even when facing tribulations or stress. Okay? Psalms 86:7. When challenges of stress come, I thank God that He answers me and I call upon Him with troubles. 2 Timothy 2:3, 4, and 10. In the name of Jesus, where there are challenges and stress, I endure challenges and stress, and have obtained salvation with eternal glory. Therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, let's think about that for a second. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Can you think of any army where the soldiers have not endured hardships to get ready for the fight? Not one that wins. Okay. No one engaged in warfare and entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and eternal glory. So we're going to be enduring things. Endure them with joy. Have fun. As you're having fun, and you learn the lessons of ABC, and you're defeating the devil, and pushing him back, and resisting him, and he's running away from you, you'll have joy in that. 2 Timothy 2:14-20. Okay. I'm just going to paraphrase this one. The Lord knows those who are His. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Okay. Number 5. 2 Timothy 3:10-17. Okay. The Lord delivers us from persecution. But you've carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me. This is Paul writing now. He lists all the cities there. I'm not going to tell them. Yes, all who desire godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Okay? They're telling you right there. We're going to suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. If your child that you have known, the Holy Scriptures will make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Okay. It always goes back to Jesus. Okay. In the name of Jesus, when there are challenges and stress. Genesis 41, Psalms 25, 16 to 70. This is number 6. I am fruitful, and God brings me out of affliction and distresses. Genesis 41, 52. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the second we called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So, even though you're having stress, challenges, and affliction, you'll be fruitful. Now, it's interesting to me, as I look back through the financial histories of the world, great wealth was made during challenging times. If you go back to the Depression, J. Paul Getty was an oil man, and he was very smart with his money. He had a lot of cash, And in the 30s, he figured that these companies were so far down, they had nowhere to go but up. And if they didn't go up, it didn't matter anyway, because money wouldn't be worth anything. So he started buying companies for 10 cents on the dollar. Of course, everything turned around, and everything went back great, and he made billions of dollars. He was at one point in time considered the richest man in the world, because during the time of trouble, he had cash, he was able to buy things. Warren Buffett's strategy is to buy when the prices are down. And he has no problem getting a bunch of cash together waiting for the right opportunity. And he's been very, very successful. He's turned $100,000 into 60-some billion dollars. Okay? So, as we go through these challenging times, let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you with ideas and concepts and things to profit, to bless people. This is an opportunity if we handle it properly. Okay? What's more valuable, an idea or a company? Amazon was an idea 30 years ago. Okay? What was Google? It was an idea. What was a Ford Motor Company? It was an idea. Now, the idea takes work, and it takes perseverance, and it takes pushing through their stresses, their naysayers, but they have developed trillions of dollars by doing this. Okay? God has ideas for all of us Christians. For all of us ABCers who push in, he's got some idea that will lead us to not only financial wealth, but using the Holy Spirit to be able to pull people into our arcs and to help the world, because we will have better ideas. And when the wealth transfer is not going to come, it's not going to fall into your lap. You don't have to go to your bank account and say, oh my goodness, God dropped $10 billion in my account. It's not going to happen that way. He's going to give people ideas, just like Joseph of Egypt. Was that challenging times? Yes. Was there a great wealth transfer? Yes. How about when the Israelites left Egypt? Was that challenging times? It was for the Egyptians. Did they go out wealthy? Yes, they did. So let's look at challenging times as opportunity. Okay. All right. Number 7. I'm comforted by suffering and stress, consoled and delivered from death. 1 Corinthians 2:1-11. Grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, comfort in suffering. Blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation. You can read the rest of it. All the way through this, it takes that God is with us during our challenges. God who raises the dead. God who delivers from a great death. God, 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 God. So when a challenge comes, turn to God. Okay? It's that simple. There's no challenge, nothing he cannot overcome. Okay? Number 8. In the enemies, when there are challenges of stress, I'm safe from adversity and disaster because God hears my prayers. Now, Pastor Josh has talked on this. You have to believe that your prayers will come to pass. And if it hadn't come today, it doesn't come tomorrow, you keep standing on the word. And you affirm that word, and it comes to pass. Okay? I know of a young lady that prayed for 3 years for the right man. Kind of disappointed sometimes it didn't come. Finally, the best guy possible came for her, and everything's lined up perfectly just as God said it would. But she stood firm on her faith. Now, yeah, there were challenges of doubt, and we talked to her, and she went to God and prayed again, and it's all working out. I'm telling you, go to God. Keep going to God. Don't give up. Okay. The name is when there are challenges and distress. I'm saying this because God hears my prayers. That's what you said there, yeah. So 1 Kings 1:29, and the king swore, saying, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity. And 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9, if disaster comes upon us, we will stand before his temple in your presence and cry out to you for our affliction, and you will hear and save us. Okay. Number 9. Hebrews 12:6. I am loved by God who chastens, disciplines, corrects, educates me, and not discourages me. Now we're talking about this a little bit. Any parent that has a child will in loving manners discipline and correct them. Now, God does not abuse. It's not making it too hard. But he will let you know when you are doing things wrong. But you have to be keen to the Holy Spirit to hear his voice. You got to know this is God telling me I need to do this and not that. No matter what the world says, no matter how good it looks on paper, you know. I once had a very, very smart businessman tell me, Jim, I know you put a lot of time and effort in this project, but the numbers don't work. And you can't make bad numbers good. You got to walk away. And I was disappointed. I thought I had this really great idea. He says, sometimes good numbers don't work. At least you got thoughts going in, but you can never make bad numbers work. Okay? So he corrected me. Because he did, I probably saved $500,000. Okay? I listened to the correction. That wasn't easy. I was very challenged because I really wanted this project to go through. But I'm glad I did. Listen to him, you know? So, God sends you a message. Take heed to it. Now, go for confirmation. Get confirmation that this person is telling you the right thing. But that's, you know, make sure. Hebrews 12, the Message translation, we just kind of like this one, verses 2 and 3. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Okay, now Jesus did it. He began and finished his race. Did he have tribulations? Yes, he did. Okay. Did he have stress? Well, when he was sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's considered stress. The stress is what causes people to sweat blood. Okay, so he knew the stress. He handled it. He didn't succumb to it. But he knew stress. If you're going through it, Jesus knows exactly what you went through. Don't think he didn't know every little thing that you're going through as a man, not as God, as a man. He did that. Okay. Verses 5 to 11. Don't shrug off God's discipline. Don't be crushed by it either. The child loves that he's disciplined, that he disciplines. The child embraces. He also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. Keywords, never drop out. Okay. And I know, it's frustrating. I've been being corrected on something for 20-some-odd years, you know. And I'm thinking, am I ever going to get there? And I'm making another progress. It's part of the deal we have to go through. Yeah. He's treating you as dear children. This trouble you're in isn't punishment. It's training. Normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. But God is doing what is best for us. Parents live by God's holy best. Now, he doesn't cause afflictions to come upon us. But when the world causes affliction to come upon us, he is there for us, showing us how to handle them. Okay, that's what this is saying here. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, when it pays off big time, for the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. Now, Kurt Warner, football player, ended up winning the Super Bowl for the Los Angeles Rams, first one the Rams ever won. Okay. His whole dream in life was to be a quarterback on a football team. And he went to college, he did good, but he wasn't good enough to get drafted. He got one chance at one pro team, and they cut him quickly. And then he ended up working around in grocery stores and things like that, and there was this thing called the Arena Football League that came up. And he took a shot at the Arena Football League, and he really honed his skills there. So that when the Rams were rebuilding, they picked him up as a outside shot. When the first quarterback unfortunately got hurt, the first string, he stepped in and took that team all the way to the Super Bowl. And he was a very devoted Christian, very wonderful man, but the point is he never gave up on his dream, even though it looked like it wasn't going to happen. He continually worked and worked and worked. He eventually got his dream. He played in 3 Super Bowls, won one, and that's no small feat. Okay. But he disciplined himself. He didn't say, oh, it's not me. He didn't cry and whine, you know. Oh, my goodness. Why me? So he didn't do that. I like number 14, the New King James Version. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now, when trials and tribulations come, it's very important to pursue peace with those people and not let ourselves get angry at them. Okay? They're doing something wrong to you. Forgive them. Love them, pursue peace with them. And I'm not saying be stupid, don't let them walk all over you, but I am saying You know, treat them with respect, and God will lead you through these things, okay? Looking careful, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, that this may become defiled. Now, there have been a number of people that didn't respect my Christian beliefs in businesses I've been involved in. And they would mock Jesus, and they would say things, and they would do things, and I would treat them with respect and kindness anyway. But it's amazing how when the trials and tribulations came for them, they came to me for prayer. Because I didn't treat them badly. I didn't disregard them. I said, okay, I get it. You believe what you want to believe, you know. I believe what I want to believe. And I always said, but I'm here for if you need me. I said to a lot of people, I'm here for if you need me. So when they come, it's their own free will. I'm not condemning them or anything like that. But when they're ready, the door is open. Okay? Now, Luke 6. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount here. Jesus healed everyone and cleansed them of tormenting with unclean spirits before he preached on the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, think about that. Before he preached, he healed and cleansed everybody. But what does that mean? Well, they had no physical pains to stop them from hearing him, but also all those demons were gone. So when he spoke, they could really hear him. The demons couldn't lie to him because they were cleansed. Okay? Thank goodness. Okay. The Beatitudes, Luke 6, 20-23. He lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now, poor here doesn't mean financially poor. It means poor in spirit. Okay? Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep or are stressed out, for now you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you. And you're going to see a lot of men hating us. Okay? But we have to just keep our joy. Okay? When they exclude you and they revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, and we see that a lot in the news today, you know, oh, you Christians, you're haters, you're haters. I don't hate anybody, you know. I don't hate, I've got homosexual friends. I pray for them, I don't hate them. My door is open for them to come anytime they need to, okay. If some guy wants to wear a dress, that's his choice, okay. I will be there for that person when they need prayer. That simple. I don't hate anybody. But they will tell me that because I'm Christian, I hate people like that. And I say, no, I don't. I don't hate anybody. I remember when I went, was marrying Karen, and of course, you know, she's Chinese and Oriental, and my dad, of course, has fought the Japanese through the war. And just to touch base, I says, now, Dad, I gotta say, is there going to be a problem with me marrying Karen because she's Oriental? He looks at me and says, I don't hate anybody, son. He said, I did what I had to do for family and country, and I don't hate anybody. So, that's the attitude I try to put forth toward everything. I don't have any animosity toward anybody. I mean, I respect them if they're not right, but I don't hate them. I pray for them. You know, I pray for every leader in our country, whether I agree with what they're doing or not, that they hear the Holy Spirit and that God moves on them. You know, but I don't hate anybody. Okay. Number 11. 1 Peter 5:8 and James 4. I submit to God in humility. I resist the devil, and he will flee from me. I cast my care upon God, so the devil, like a roaring lion, cannot seek to devour me, and God strengthens and perfects me. Okay? In humility, we resist the devil. Now, that's very important. Pride is a big thing in the world today, and we must walk in humility. Jesus walked in humility. Can you imagine how humble it was? Stand before Pontius Pilate and take what Pontius Pilate had to give out to him, even though he could have done anything to change that situation. But he didn't. He humbly did what he needed to do because he loved us. He loved us so much that he was willing to die and go to the cross for us. Yeah. Okay. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Many people like to forget the first four words of that. I'm resisting the devil. No, you're not. What do you mean? Well, you're not submitted to God. What do you mean? Well, if you're submitted to God, you wouldn't be doing A, B, and C. You want God to bless the fact that you're what you're doing, even though it's not godly. You know, whatever the person's particular challenge is, say it's smoking. Okay, then we got to bless you, even though they're smoking. Well, if God told you to quit, then you're not submitted to God. Now, if you're having struggles quitting, we'll work on the struggle, but at least we can work on that. Then you're submitting to God. Then you can resist the devil. But until you start with submitting to God, resisting the devil is futile. So whatever challenge is going on out there, okay, we have to submit to God first, above all things. Okay? Okay, number 12. In the name of Jesus. When there are challenges of stress, God causes me to be an overcomer, overstressed in every area of my life. Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he will be my son. Overcome all things. Okay. Now, let's talk about how stress works. We've talked about the stress that builds people up a little bit as you do it properly with like weightlifting or building a better skill set or doing something else. And yes, we have the ability to change our base abilities. Okay? We can get in shape. We can spend more time in the Word so we're more ready for those things. We can do the things we need to do to make us ready for the oncoming battles. Okay? Whatever it is, a chain, a rubber band, a structure on a building, the break is always at the weakest point. Your job is not to be the weakest link. You have to be so strong that whatever comes against you, not only can you hold it together, but you'll be in a position to hold your family and friends when they come to you for help. We can do that through the Word of God. And too many people are only concerned about themselves. We need to expand this now and be really concerned about the others out there. There are millions and millions of people that are hurting. And they need to know how to take and handle these challenges coming up against them. And God has an area, a way for each one of us to be in this perfect, well-oiled machine that generates huge numbers of salvations and huge number of people who come to ABC and go through the courses and get themselves prepared for the end times. We are in a position to do this, and this is our objective and goal. That's what God has told us to do. If not, I don't think any of you would be here. You're here to start for yourselves, yes. And as Pastor Josh said a couple weeks ago, first we must have victory ourselves. We have victory on our own challenges, then we can help other people. We must push through to our mark, okay? Now go to section B, and there's the world's way to eliminate stress and God's way, okay? So the world's way is by keeping people not getting enough sleep. They take pills or something to get more sleep. They're stressed out and challenged. They worry. They cannot sleep well, and they're exhausted, and the more they're exhausted, it's just for the devil to beat up on them, you know. And God's way is by using Proverbs 3:24. God is causing a sweet, uninterrupted sleep. We use the Word of God to overcome challenges of sleep, because when you're rested, you're able to handle the challenges, okay? Now, the other way you help is by making your body right, eating healthy. And eating healthy alone does not eliminate stress, but there are toxins in the food and drinks that are not blessed and purified by prayer. Okay, we eliminate stress by God helps me eat healthy, and I bless everything I eat, drink, and ingest. Now, yes, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And if you're having some challenges, you need to go for what is more beneficial for you. Okay? All right. The world wants people to be high on caffeine and stimulants and things like that. We have to use everything in moderation. Okay, and we eliminate stress by not conforming to this world. We use God's healing to get energy and stamina. Use self-control and moderation in all things, not excess. Okay, I'll tell you, when I had my restaurant, and with my restaurant, there was a bar. There were lots of people that used alcohol to relieve stress. You know what they did for them? Nothing. I mean, they felt good for a little while, but the next day they had to go back and face their problems again. If they would have went to God and gotten answers, they could have eliminated their problem. And I saw that a lot in people. People who had lots of money were still miserable and stressed and challenged. People who didn't have any money were still miserable and stressed and challenged. And it didn't matter what their age was or anything else. I've seen it all. So we cannot go to excess of anything else. Now, most of us aren't drinkers. I understand that. But is there something else that you're doing that is a crutch? Your only support should be the Lord. Now, I'm not saying don't have a cup of coffee. I didn't say that. But don't use that as your crutch. Okay? All right. Now, the world will tell people that you got to work more. You got to do more. You can do it all. Work 7 days a week. And they'll show people who are working 7 days a week and they're working 20-hour days and they're doing all this stuff and so forth. And maybe on the surface they look successful, you know, because they got the nice car and the nice boat, you know. And I was telling Karen the other day, I said, you know, I remember this guy, I had my tailor shop, and he worked a lot. He had the boat. He had the car, brand new BMW, this beautiful speedboat, you know, for multiple people. It's beautiful, pulled up front of it. And his $4 check bounced. His $4 check bounced. Get rid of the boat, relax, chill. You know, what do you need to do to take stress off? What do you need to say no to? Okay? Too many people will come on you and ask you to do things for them, and you know you can't do it. But because you're challenged to say no, you say yes, and then you feel pressured to do it. So you have to ask yourself, is the Lord want me to do this or not? If the Lord says no, then say, you know, I'm sorry, I'd like to help you, but I can't. But I believe God will bring somebody else in for you. You know. Okay. But take time to relax. You know, Matthew 11:28, give weariness and burdens to God so I can rest. And the commandment, I'm obedient, take a Sabbath day of rest every week. This is very challenging. But now that I'm here at the pastorate here, I've had to rework my schedule that I'm only in my office 2 days a week. The rest of the time I'm able to work from home, which gives me an extra, depending on traffic, 10 to 12 hours a week that I'm not driving. It's an adjustment, but I know God's going to bless me for doing that, you know. And Karen and I, 1 day a week, will always take 1 day off and no work. We take it off, we rest from the Lord. And that has really helped us get a lot more done, because when you're not so tired, you can get more done. And especially when you have to hear the Lord. When you're tired, when people are tired, the challenge to hear the Lord. Okay? Okay. Now, the world says do transcendental meditation to relax, or do, you know, the yoga things where they're relaxing with that and so forth like that. We meditate on God's Word, Joshua 1:8. And God's Word will always lead us, guide us truly, okay? Now, God can eliminate the excess stress in your life. The only God's presence breaks every yoke of bondage in my life, including stress and challenges. I praise the Lord and stop the avenger, especially stress. I worship God in spirit and in truth, which brings the anointing. In God's presence, I have fullness of joy instead of stress. I'm a doer of the word, not a hearer only. I have life more abundantly, and God is able to do exceedingly above all I could think. And, of course, the scripture references are right on the side there. Feel free to go back and check them out more deliberately. But as things get tougher and tougher, now I don't know if we're heading into a recession or not. The Lord hasn't told me that. But I do know that there are a lot of challenges going to keep coming and continue coming. And if you're hearing from the Lord, you're going to be ready for Him. And if you're ready for Him, you're going to bless a lot of people who aren't going to be ready for Him. Because believe me, there's a gazillions of people out there that are not hearing from God right now. But this is an opportunity as well as a challenge. So I'm going to pray for everybody right now. In the name of Jesus, I praise, worship, I glorify your holy name. I thank you for all you've done for it. I bless everybody listening to this message that they are able to find the excessive stressors in their lives, pick them out one at a time, take them off their plate, so that they can live in a godly way. And that when challenges of attacks come upon them, they're able to use joy, humility, and all the blessings of God to handle them, to develop themselves, to get themselves stronger, and to be an example to every person around them. And as they do this, more and more people will come to know you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor James. Well, he certainly is putting into practice what he's teaching about overcoming stress with all of the responsibilities he has had and the new pastorship of ABC coming together with a full-time job. Whoa, it's transitioning into merging both. And we believe that the Lord is helping him to be successful at all he does. And because he puts God first, God can take care of him and his wife and all that concerns them. So it's wonderful. Thank you so much. And so now let's come to the table and partake of communion, the body and blood of Jesus. Take a moment, shall we, to confess any known sins, and then we'll begin. Thank you, Father, that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We remember your word teaches that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We are the healed of the Lord, and we boldly say so. So thank you, Jesus, for paying that price so that we could be healthy, healed, whole, restored, and rejuvenated. Thank you, Jesus. We partake now of your broken body to receive our healing and wholeness in this great exchange called covenant. Thank you, Lord. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus held up the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. This do in remembrance of me." Your mighty, powerful blood remitted, washed away all of our sins into the sea of forgetfulness where God chooses to remember them no more. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that along with the sins, the wages of sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. If there's no sin, there's no wage for the sin that's due. So we thank you, all that's gone. And the blood of Jesus is so powerful, it sealed the old covenant and established the new, better, and everlasting covenant. These covenants with all the promises, tools, and weapons that are available to each one of us to get us successfully and victoriously through these last days, to be able to not die but live and declare the works of the Lord, and to be alive and remain when Jesus returns, looking forward to that day when we see our Savior face to face. How glorious that will be. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life so that we could live, so that we could live in you. How wonderful. We love you. We praise you. We thank you as we now partake together in Jesus' name.